To anyone who loves to cycle, put it on your bucket list. There's only one time, and I might make some Iowans angry with this one, but there's really only one time to ever go to Iowa, and it is Ragbri Week, which is the last full week in July. Put it on your calendar.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015, and by Oboz Footwear, my feet's ride-or-die adventure shoe brand. So stay tuned for more about my recent favorites from both of them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. Okay, so this is fun. Today, we're going to focus our attention stateside on an adventure about riding bikes across the great state of Iowa. And here to shed some light on why this is a thing at all is Eric Whalen, who happens to be a Jump Adventures alum and also an avid road cyclist. So, Eric, welcome to the show and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Yeah. So before we get into the Iowa thing, which is Ragbri, which we will explain at a certain, we'll get there. Let's just start with who you are and where you come from and why you got so into cycling so that we can have a little bit of background.
Well, okay. You already said my name. I'm Eric Whalen. I currently live in Denver, Colorado with my wife and our dog. We really love being out here in the Mountain West, but I am originally from the Midwest, from Minnesota, and college and career start in Wisconsin, which is going to be important later because Ragbri is kind of a celebration of like the Midwest and all its weirdness overall. And I am a really avid amateur cyclist. I pay to ride on a club team of guys who like to all wear spandex that's the same shirt, and we pay to race and train and have a lot of fun. I absolutely love it. I ride like 8 to 10,000 miles a year, like 10 to 12 hours per week, and just try and stay fit for the fun of it, to get outside in nature.
That's amazing. Did you always ride, or at what age did you really get into cycling?
Absolutely not. I did not always ride. I usually say that I grew up as kind of a chubby kid. I was a band geek. I lived in Duluth, Minnesota, which is cold for like 8 or 9 months of the year. And I just loved playing in band only, being inside playing Nintendo 64. And it really took until I was in college to start to ride a lot more. And that was due to my dad and also to Ragbri. So my father was a runner. He liked to run half marathons and marathons. And a doctor told him when he was in his 40s that if he didn't stop running, he was going to have two fake knees by the time he turned 50. And he needed to take up either cycling or swimming. So he picked cycling. And in 2006, when I was 18, just graduating from high school, he went with a group of friends to do this crazy event called Ragbri. And he didn't know what it was before he went. Just was a bunch of guys who he had gone to Army flight school with. They were all helicopter pilots. And he had one friend coming from Arizona, one friend coming from Florida, and one friend coming from DC. And we lived in Minnesota at the time. So he had to cross one state border to try it out. And I didn't go with him that year, but I know that he went and he had a fantastic time. He absolutely adored it. And 2 years later, in 2008, when he was going back, I asked him if I could join in. And he was really skeptical because I didn't ride very much still. I had just gotten my first road bike and I was still kind of an inside sort of guy. I'd never really had that grit to get outside and do any real adventuring. But he said, okay, son, let's see how it goes. And I joined him. So
that's so cool. Okay, so talk about quality family time, father-son time. However, I think we need to back up because now that we've been talking about Ragbri, we need to explain what it even is that we're saying. So we're going to start with the letters because I remember when I first heard about Ragbri, I actually think it was 2008, the first time that somebody was telling me about it. And I was just like, what is it that you're saying? What is this word? What does it mean? So will you break that down for us?
Absolutely. It's kind of one of those weird words where your brain short circuits because there's also a Ragnar, I think, that's a running relay race. But Ragbri, R-A-G-B-R-A-I, stands for the Register's Annual Great Bicycle Ride Across Iowa. So the Register is the Des Moines Register, the newspaper in Des Moines. And I think it was, you may have to fact check me on this off the top of my head, I think it was 1973 that the first Ragbri happened. It was just a couple of crazy guys who decided to ride across the state. And they always start on the west side of the state. At the Missouri River, and you ride all the way across to the east side of the state and the Mississippi River. The route changes every year, but it's always 7 days. The distance of each day can vary. For example, this year we had some shorter days. Our shortest day in 2025 was only 39 miles, but there are also days that can be 105. I think the longest day that was required that I've ever had to ride was 105. You usually camp every night, and the towns that you pass through and the towns that you camp in are all preset by the organization. So you have a very, very well laid out route, a very, very easy to understand map, and you can never get lost because of the sheer scope of the event. I'd say there's probably between 12,000 and 20,000 participants every single year. So... the, you know, peak of the day, you take up the entire two-lane highway from shoulder to shoulder. So you can ride, people riding in the opposite lane going the wrong way, and cars know just to avoid the Ragbri route. And over the entire course of the week that my dad and I just did this past July, there was maybe one time in the entire 7 days when we couldn't see anyone in front of us or behind us. And that was because we had started super early that day and we were trying to like finish early to kind of for our own reasons that day. People ride as fast or as slow as they want to. Some people start really early and go maybe 8 to 10 miles an hour. Some people are more, you know, racers and they're wearing full Lycra and they're going kind of as fast as they can at a 20 mile an hour average, finishing fast. Some people stop in every single pass through town and have a beer at the beer garden from, you know, 6 a.m. until 5 p.m. But there's really no wrong way to do Ragbri. So
I love this. Okay. I have so many questions. And because I love cycling, like cycling is my favorite. I think it's my favorite way to travel because, and we can talk about why you love it too, but I love like being on a bike, having luggage support. So you're not carrying all of your bags, which you guys do that as well, right? You have luggage support for Ragbri, yeah. So, and then you're just outside all day getting to, you know, see wherever it is that you are. You smell like the flowers, the farms, like whatever's around you. You get to stop at your leisure if there's a cafe, if there's a bar, if there's lunchtime or like a river crossing or whatever it is. I think I've ridden in, oh man, I haven't even counted this, but Austria, Switzerland, Portugal, Croatia, Greece. But riding across, I've ridden across Austria twice and I've ridden across Switzerland once. And it's a real accomplishment of starting and using your feet to get you somewhere, like using your human power. But yeah. Biking is so much faster than hiking. You know, it's like both of those things can be so just so immersive, but you can go so much farther, so much faster on a bike. And it is just a wondrous experience for me. I love it. And it's like doing the same sort of thing, but in Iowa, which is, I mean, it's so random, but it sounds like it's really set up for anyone to do it.
Yes, you see so many different types of people, every single body shape in the entire world, a lot of different ages. You'll see people who are in their 70s and 80s still doing Ragbri. You see people with all kinds of bikes. I've seen penny farthings. I've seen unicycles. I've seen quadricycles. There's some guys who do the entire thing in the American flag Speedo, wearing American flag capes, and they're just are bare-chested and bare-legged. I've seen guys do it in inline skates, a big group on inline skates. I've seen a couple of people run it as an ultra every day out there running, and that's a level that I can't even think about aspiring to. But there's so much freedom in the event because of the fact that luggage is handled. So if you pay basic registration, you get access to the Ragbri trucks. So like huge semis full of baggage at the main campgrounds. So in the morning, you wake up, you pack your tent down, you put your kit on, you throw your bag into the truck, and you start riding. And at the end of the day, when you get to the end town, the truck has arrived at the town and all the bags are just out in a field. You find your bag, you set up your tent, and you use your afternoon however you'd like. But the support makes it really accessible because you don't have to be worried about food. You don't have to be worried about water refills. Each of the pass-through towns, which are usually about 10 to 20 miles apart, are required to have free water that comes out of their city water. But there's also vendors everywhere selling sandwiches and pizza. There's certain businesses that kind of follow the route day to day. So one of my favorites was always the Farm Kids, and they would sell breakfast burritos or breakfast bowls. But you can also always find like a firehouse that's doing a pancake breakfast, or a girls softball team that's raising money for their upcoming season and selling, you know, anything. Church ladies selling pies. Pie is a big Ragbri staple as well. So just,
that's cool.
Yeah, crossing an entire state and under your own power is just really rewarding. And Ragbri always ties it together really nice too, because there's a tradition of you dip your back tire in the Missouri on Saturday before you start, and then you dip your front tire into the Mississippi River at the very end of the week, and you've made it all the way across.
How many times have you done this?
I have participated in 14 different Ragbris. I don't know how well you can see my visual. Oh, no, it's above me now. Each year you finish, you get a patch. So you can see my...
Oh, see them behind you, yep, yeah.
8, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I'm missing my 17 and 18. Then I have 21, 22, 23, and my newest one from this year. So,
how cool.
Yeah.
Wow, you're definitely the right person to talk to about this. Have you done it with your dad every year?
There was one year that I did it without him. That I think was 2013. Was still in my mid-20s. So me and my dumb friends who were pretty fresh out of college, we did it on like the absolute bare bones, as spending as little money as possible, kind of surviving on Little Debbie snack cakes and PBR every night, and doing the main truck. But I have primarily done it with my dad. And that has been a huge bonding experience for us both. And because we started off doing it with his group of helicopter pilots, we call ourselves, they're rotor heads. So sometimes people attach crazy stuff to their helmets or heads. There's some people who wear like these triangular pieces of foam that are pie. So they're called the pie hunters, and they each have a different okay. flavor of pie. I've seen feather boas. I've seen, horns or unicorns where they have a corn cob sticking off the front of their helmet. But we would always have little spinny helicopter blades. And doing it with that group, we would always spring for a little bit more of a premium experience. So I mentioned you can just use the main truck and, you know, throw your bags on there. But there are also a lot of different charter companies that you can pay on top of that to not only shift your bags for you, but also have more amenities. So we've typically used one of the bougiest called Pork Belly Ventures, and they bring also like a charging trailer that is gas powered, so you can charge your phone or your devices. They have a truck they bring that has tap beer in the back of it that they tap up cold every day. They bring giant tents that you can sit under and huge fans to blow misters, because again, it's always the last week in July in Iowa in the summer.
It's really hot.
Yeah, camping outside for 7 nights in a row. So the little amenities start to go a really long way for comfort. But there's like I said before, there's absolutely no wrong way to do it. So
right. It sounds like you can just kind of do it however, I mean, you just explained like pretty much the two different ones. You with your college buddies eating Little Debbie cakes, and then, but do you, with your dad, do you guys still camp? Does he still just pitch tent in the field every, because do you have much of an option? I mean, in these towns that you're going through, I imagine they don't have the infrastructure to house that many people within like proper lodging. But is that an option? I mean, I suppose it is if you wanted to.
Yeah, some people get really creative. So, for example, I know that certain people will, they'll rent an RV and get a vehicle pass. So if you had, let's say if you had a big group of like seven people or something like that, each of you could skip a day of riding and drive the vehicle. Or if you had, you know, a really supportive friend who wanted to just drive across Iowa for a week, they could drive that for you. There are some people, so they announce the route in late January. And by the time they're announcing it, if you were going to try and do hotel rooms, for example, the hotel rooms are already like selling out. Because the organization knows about the route in advance and they book a certain number of rooms for their support staff and for that sort of thing. And there are certain people who try and reason out what the route might most likely be that year and book hotels in a lot of different towns all across the state with cancellations. And then as the route is getting announced, they go through and like cancel the ones that they don't need and see how well they've done with having them.
Cause, that's funny.
Yeah, sometimes it'll go through bigger cities that you could definitely get hotels if you wanted to. Like it goes through Sioux Falls or starts down near Omaha. It's gone through Ames before, Des Moines, Iowa City, Waterloo, you know, those kind of bigger cities. But sometimes you're in a town that's like 2,000 people overnight. So there are also certain locals who are willing to do house or home stays. But those are usually organized a little bit later on. Usually each overnight town will set up its own website as the event gets closer. And you can apply to try and stay with locals if you have a group that wants to try and do that. So,
and otherwise, are you pitching tents like in where? Where is there enough room for that?
I don't want to use too many visual aids, I know, because I don't know if how many people listen out on video, but like, here's my dad and I in 2010 at a baseball diamond. We're in like a dugout and our tent is on our tent is on the field. We've done fairgrounds before, big like public works parks. Pretty much every grassy field in a smaller town will turn into a campground for that night. So
it sounds like kind of like a moving parade just for multiple days and a very great opportunity to wear a tutu is what I'm hearing. I have a tutu.
I forgot to mention the tutus. Occasions. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. See people in tutus, in costume. I've seen Elvis. I've seen Santa Claus. But yeah, the party vibe is really there. I mean, there'll be slip and slides in farmers' fields or zip lines. I've seen people get picked up in like a harness by a crane or something like that. And the farmer will like spin it around to, you know, wing the person. But yeah, it's really hard to visualize without having been there. But every single town that you pass through is a festival, is a party, is a celebration.
Yeah.
With they all put their best foot forward 100% to bring in funds for their town, but also just to show Iowa hospitality. So
yeah, it sounds amazing. It sounds like a moving state fair or something. Like every day is different. You get to see different people, experience different things. I mean, you're making it sound like if it's the place to be, like if you're not there, you're missing out on the place to be in this entire country, like during that week. Like, it sounds really cool. So no wonder. I'm surprised that I haven't heard about it more, actually, because it's such a, I mean, it sounds like such a fun adventure to do right in the backyard. What is the cost? Like, how much is it to just enter?
It's gone up in recent years. I think the general, I think it's either $300 or $350 now. So costs have gone up. It was, you know, like I think $100 back in, you know, a decade ago or something like that. But that, again, covers you for, you know, getting all the way across. And after that, if, you know, it's kind of drag and drop however much you can spend on food or, you know, all your day-to-day kind of things. So, but yeah, I'm surprised too that it may still be like not a hidden gem, but just a little bit less known because it's really done well for itself as an event. Like for touring bicycle rides, it's kind of head and shoulders above the registration numbers and the, you know, just history of it than a lot of other rides. And I think a couple of things have gone into that, just the regularity of it and its identity, like the returners and the like the return vendors and all that kind of thing. But also Iowa feels accessible. Anyone who's done a RAGBRAI will tell you that Iowa is actually not flat, but
okay.
Like I think some people might get fooled. Like they sign up for their first RAGBRAI and they're like, yeah, sure, I can do that, as opposed to the now defunct Ride the Rockies in Colorado. No one shows up half-baked to ride mountain passes at 9,000 feet elevation. You know, so like that just kind of attracts like a serious cyclist kind of person. Whereas RAGBRAI is just like, yeah, I'll ride across Iowa in the summer and stop at a farm stand and get a corn dog and a pork chop and a piece of pie. So, and you just kind of keep cruising. But there can be tough days. There can be headwinds. There can be, you know, storms at night. There can be really, really high heat indexes with the humidity at that time of year in Iowa. But the motto is always, you got to just roll with it. Like there's going to be a time, like especially in the years when it was me, my dad, and maybe two or three other people, my friends, his friends. Our rule was everybody gets one, meaning everyone gets one time in the week to, you know, kind of lose your temper, crash out a little bit, take yourself somewhere, yeah, and be alone. And then after that, you just got to brush it off and like, okay, we're fine now. That was my one. And now we're gonna keep rolling with it. So
lock it up and roll with it. Yeah, I love that. What are some of your favorite like moments of memories that just something that comes to mind that just makes you laugh or makes you look back and say, dang, I need to do this again because of those moments, you know?
I'll lead with one that's more of a positive because, you know, some of the first things you think of are like there was a storm or there was, a lot of heat. But
always adventure.
Mm-hmm. It's starting general. It's just the people, everyone's there to have fun and to meet other people. So you just like roll and, you know, strike up a conversation with whoever you're riding next to at that moment. You know, where are they from? Why are they, how many RAGBRAIs have they done? What are they, you know, what are they involved with? This year I was just rolling along on that short day that I mentioned, like 38, 39 miles. And I wound up riding next to a younger guy who had a British accent and he was visiting from the UK with his dad. And we were both taking the short day just to like ride super easy, super chill. I could tell he liked to ride his bike too. And turned out he was only like 16 years old and he was out there just smashing it and having a great time. I say there's no wrong way to do RAGBRAI, but some people develop their own personal opinions. So my good friend, Justin, he has a rule, which is that you can never turn down a free beer. So frequently we would get to the end of the day someday and he'd be like, hey, did you see that guy at, you know, the top of that really steep hill? He was giving away a bunch of stuff. And I was like, nah, I missed that guy. And he just like points at me, Justin, is like, you got to stop for the free beer. Or, we would find people giving away their own homemade whiskey. My friend Brian always had a different way of doing it as well, because he kind of rode more of his own pace and he would always stop in the middle of the day to take a nap under a big tree just for an hour,
okay,
2 hours. And we found out that he was really smart about that, because obviously by the time he got to the end, we had found his bags for him and we had set up his tent for him because, you know, he didn't have anything else to do. So he kind of gamed the system on that and made us his little Sherpas. So,
and steals a couple extra hours of sleep during the day, which I imagine, I don't know, do you sleep well at night when you're camping along the road in Iowa?
Hard to say. It depends on the person and it depends on the night. So when I gotta imagine that it'll only get harder the older the participant gets to sleep in the humidity and, you know, when temperatures aren't cooling down. I don't know how many of your listeners are from like the mountains or from Montana. It gets very pleasant when the sun goes down, even in the height of summer. But in the Midwest, that kind of sticks around. So one of my favorite can't live without it investments in RagBri's of recent years has been a battery powered fan. The kind that you just like put 8D batteries in so that the cost of the batteries is more than the cost of the fan itself, but just a little bit of moving air inside a tent at night kind of really helps you out. So
smart.
Yeah. And everyone chooses,
pro tip.
Yeah. Everyone chooses different sleeping times as well. Like, my groups usually try to be laying in bed and like wrapping up around 8 or 9 o'clock at night, as the sun's going down. So we wake up around like 5 in the morning. But again, I've traditionally ridden it with like old army guys who are very prompt. And like, you know, there's been times when I've looked out of my tent and seen like the whole group just standing there with their kit on and their bikes. And they're like, "You ready to go yet?" But some people will stay at the party downtown. So most of the overnight towns will have a band, you know, like playing covers of the Middle America greatest hits. You know, you hear, what's the song? "She's Just a Small Town Girl Living in a Lonely World."
Yeah. Journey.
You hear that like 50 times over the week. But so those people, you know, they're in bed around like midnight and super tired to like roll out of bed at 8 a.m. So, yep.
We'll come right back to that. But first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Oboz Footwear is the maker of my feet's number one favorite adventure shoe, the Sawtooth X Low. I know that footwear is as personal and particular as our own feet, but if my feet could talk, they'd scream at you to go try a pair of these on, because slipping them on is like taking my feet to a cloud massage instead of a 15-mile hike. I don't make the rules, I'm just here for the ride. Aside from comfort and performance, one of my favorite things about Oboz Footwear is their commitment to sustainability. Not only are they a certified B Corp, but every pair of footwear sold helps plant trees across the world. Check them out for yourself and find out more at obozfootwear.com/lovehiking. Osprey has been my go-to luggage for everything since 2015. My new favorite item to add to my list of trusty travel luggage is the Transporter Rolling Duffel 40 that I recently took as a carry-on all over Europe for 6 weeks on 13 flights, including a few of those budget airlines with strict rules, and it fit in the overhead bin on all of them. No lost luggage worries here. And with its high chassis, it held up beautifully on the cobblestone streets of France, dirt, rocks, ferries, and van transfers in the fjords of Norway, and even sandy surfaces on the coasts of Greece and Albania. 80% of Osprey's entire product line are certified Blue Sign products, and 100% are backed by their almighty guarantee. They will repair or replace any product for the life of the product. We are proud to support each other both on and off the podcast, and you can find out more at osprey.com. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
Yeah, but like you said, there's no wrong way to do it. So you roll out of bed when you roll out of bed, you close up your camp, you throw it on the truck, as long as you don't miss the truck. I guess that's the one structure you probably need to stay within.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to miss the truck. But yeah, there's no reason to, like, it's not a race. You definitely can't win. No matter how fast you ride, there will always be someone else in front of you, someone who started earlier. And it's just like, yeah, the amount of people, the, you know, is impossible to visualize until you're actually out there.
Man, I'm trying to visualize it, and I know I'm falling short. About how many, I know the route changes every year, but about how many miles is it total, like average?
I think it's pretty easy to say 400 to 450.
Okay.
So.
In how many days?
7 days.
Okay. So that's about twice as much as what I have done on my biggest ride in a week. Like, Austria is the biggest, and it was 220 miles. And that was in 7 days, I think. So yeah, this is twice that. Man, that sounds like fun though. Do they allow e-bikes for people?
Yeah.
Like, can people?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
E-bikes. So it doesn't matter. Like, anybody can, okay.
Yep. Yeah. The only thing that you have to consider is your battery. So if you're roughing it, how are you going to charge that battery? The charters that you would pay more for obviously can kind of help you with that if that is a concern of yours. Like, the Pork Belly Ventures have a specific setup already set. They have two tents, two awnings that they put up. They roll out a really long extension cord that has a bunch of outlets in it, and they attach that to a Jenny, and you just go for it. So I really love seeing the increase of e-bikes out there. They just, you know, they provide more accessibility for people to ride, you know, people who maybe are getting a little bit older or just don't want to punish themselves quite as much. I mean, e-bikes are a lot of fun. I've seen people on e-bikes. I've seen people on fat bikes, of all things, which sounds like an extra level of masochism to roll those tires over the pavement.
Is your dad as hardcore as you are about cycling?
Not anymore. So the first few years that we were doing Ragbri together, I was still kind of coming into my full love of cycling and amateur racing. But I was still largely riding just in the summer, kind of just for fun. I would usually roll over like 2,000 miles in the year around like November. And I was getting my competition edge out by doing competitive ballroom dance. But
oh, so cool. Yeah.
But in 2017, so my dad and I had been riding together pretty regularly for about a decade, at about the same speed, the same level, you know, where you like take turns drafting on the front. But then in 2017, I started racing and kind of training to try and be a fast cyclist, whatever that means. And, you know, since then, in spite of my dad changing his sport, he has now had to have both of his knees replaced. He's 64. He's still very fast for a rider, but, you know, doing races. But we still ride together quite a lot during Ragbri. I pull in front and he follows me. So I break the wind. But it's all, you know, payback. When I was a new cyclist, when I was just a kid, I look back and I kind of wonder how I was able to follow him so well. Like I would barely hang on to his wheel for several years, and now I'm returning the favor. So that's another really great thing about cycling, is that I think it allows people to stay the same speed for a really long time, no matter how old they are. Like, I live in the Denver area, and there are people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s who live in Boulder that could crush me.
Yeah, sure. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have a lot of siblings. I have, I'm one of six. So two step siblings, one younger brother.
Have any of them come with you?
One year we had a special guest. I have a younger sister named Liza. And 1 year, I think she was only maybe 15 at the time. She came out to ride with us for like a half of a day because my dad now lives in Iowa City, and he did at that time. So my younger sister Liza was living there as well. And she got dropped off at like in like the middle of the day, and we finished that day by riding all the way to their house in Iowa City. And that was so fun as well, because it was a real change in how my dad and I approached it. Because even though there's no, like, you don't have to ride Ragbri faster at a certain thing, my dad and I just enjoy riding fast. You know, we kind of go at our clip, and then we stop and have good food, and then we go pretty fast again. But that day we slowed down a lot for Liza because she's not a regular cyclist. And she was really young at the time. We rode like, you know, 8, 9, 10 miles an hour. And it was so cool to be in like a different part of the pack, or like to see, different cyclists, and to have like more people passing us by, and kind of get a different like view of that whole group. So
And to be with your family, how special is it to you to be able to do this with your dad? Like, do you know already that you're doing this next year? Is this something you just count on?
Pretty much, yeah. He just retired, my father, after a long career as a helicopter pilot, so he'll have no trouble getting the time off. It can be a little bit challenging for some people in the normal 9-to-5 grind to get a whole week off, you know, in the middle of summer to go camp in Iowa. But once you're a complete psychopath and you just want to keep going back year after year, people make it happen. And I've always been a school teacher, so I found it very easy also to have that time off. And I think we're planning on it again for next year. And we had this past year, it was just he and I. There's been one or two, maybe even three other years when it's been just my dad and I, as opposed to other of his friends or other of my friends. But I think next year we got some of the guys interested in joining us again. So we might get a bigger group of our team, the Rotorheads, out there again.
That's so fun. Do you have any anything you haven't accomplished yet with Ragbri that you have like one day during Ragbri, we're going to do this or we're going to make this our thing? Like, do you have any big ideas around that?
Yes. Yes and no. There's always the desire to do something like a little bit crazier, to maybe like get, you know, like three of us on a combined tandem or something like that and see how fast we can make that go. To just kind of join in the carnival atmosphere a little bit more with like some strange costumes or anything like that. And we have also really enjoyed, like I mentioned with the story with my sister, some days kind of slowing down a little bit or delaying, like not starting right away before the sun rises, but like looking at the weather and finding which days aren't going to quite be as hot so we don't need to worry about getting to the end and, you know, laying low. So yeah, doing that, I would love to get, you know, even more family and friends out there. I'd love to like convince, friends who haven't, done it in the past to come out and give it a try, but it's Ragbri. It's, you know, it's a thing that I have done with my dad for so many years. It's, you know, really comfy. It fits, you know, it fits like a glove. And we have our usual go-tos. We have our favorite vendors and sandwiches. We have our, you know, favorite beer stops. And we just really enjoy every single minute of it. So
it just sounds like so much fun. And I could see going and experiencing it and then immediately wanting to do it again the next year. I mean, even if you're hot and sweaty and having trouble sleeping, like those adventures are so filling. You have when all you have to do is get from, you know, point A to point B, whether that's on a hiking trip or a biking trip or whatever, it's such a freedom. It's like, this is our biggest task today, is just getting to the next town and enjoying who you're with and your surroundings and the experience of it and the adventure of it, which always includes weather, no matter where you are. And yeah, just kind of leaning in to like what that has for you. It sounds like so much fun.
Yeah. Ragbri is a really good place to just lean into the discomfort and, you know, rolling with it and, you know, keep your feet spinning around. That's, you know, another great thing about doing cycling tours is, although it's a physical activity, usually everyone's going to be able to complete it. You know, no one's going to have to, you know, get help or anything like that. There are sag wagons. If you encounter a mechanical or if you just can't finish on a day, there's like a van that drives back and forth and has a trailer that will pick you up. So there, again, the stakes are pretty low for getting out there and trying it. And I've seen a lot of people roll up with maybe not the fitness level that they quite want. You know, they maybe haven't gotten the rides in early in the year that they wanted to, but they're still going to be able to do it as long as they have comfortable shorts and, you know, make sure they take care of themselves. You know, like your muscles might get sore, but you can finish it no matter what.
Yeah. You know, you really, when I first heard about Ragbri, and I've been invited to go to it as well, to go do it, and it sounds so overwhelming to me. It sounds really logistically hard. And you've made it sound so easy. Really, like you just sign up and make sure you show up. And I mean, I'm sure there's easy ways to get a ride back to wherever you started. Or maybe you're just flying in and then flying out from the other side or whatever that looks like. But you really made it sound a lot easier. That, like, don't overthink it. Just show up and do it.
The infrastructure is absolutely in place. Like the, you know, the charter systems, the buses, the end town has, so where you end on the east side of the state, that town will set up long-term parking if you want to leave your car there. And there are shuttles that'll take you across to the start the day before. You can leave your car in the start town, and there are shuttles that come back towards the west the day that it finishes. There are shuttles that'll take you from Des Moines in the center of the state, which has a pretty major airport. You can take that to the start or to the end. You can, from Omaha, there'll be buses and charters and, everything getting you where you need to go. So, yeah. And if you know a group of cyclists, you might be able to kind of share the load and manage logistics together. So
I just love that earlier on in this conversation, you said exactly what surprised me. You said, Iowa is just so accessible. Because I'm over here thinking, Ragbri sounds so cool, but it's in Iowa. And it's like, I don't know if I know people there. I might, but I don't know. It just seems logistically tough, but the way that you've just laid this all out sounds like actually it's right in the middle of the country. Everyone can access it. You can get there. You can figure it out. And there's a big party that happens there on bikes every July and everyone's invited. Do they cap it?
I don't think so. No. If they had that need, they would have had to bring that policy into effect in 2023. That was Ragbri 50. And the number of participants really swelled, not just in registered participants, but also that year it went through some of the biggest cities. So it went through Ames, which is where Iowa State University is. It went down into Des Moines, and then it went to Iowa City, which is where the University of Iowa is. And it ended in, I think it ended in Davenport, which is their biggest city over by Illinois. And on those days when we were going into Des Moines, there were so many people just jumping in for the day or riding out to come back the locals and everything like that. So yeah, I don't think they've needed to cap it yet. And even this year, I, in spite of being a Ragbri veteran, missed the registration, the online registration date, which just meant that I had to sign up in person in a field in Iowa the night before it started.
Oh,
so yeah.
Funny.
So I just made sure that I had the charter. I paid for charter service and they were going to haul my bags and I knew I could get where I needed to go. So
yeah, that's so cool because it just feels like old school kind of Americana, like let's just go outside and have a good time and get to know each other and ride across Iowa just because we think it's going to be fun.
Yep. I mean, the scenery is what you would expect sometimes. Like you ride by a lot of cornfields, you ride by a lot of soybean fields, and every once in a while in the middle of the week, you'll just be riding quietly next to my dad and I'll just go, corn. And you laugh about it. But also some days the scenery is amazing and unique and new. There are certain towns in Iowa on lakes. There's a town up towards the Minnesota border called Clear Lake that's had some of the funnest run-ins ever. And in the northeastern part of the state, as you get towards the border with Illinois and Wisconsin, the Driftless area, the hills there are really amazing. Like one of my favorite memories is the last day of Ragbri in 2010. And we were riding into Dubuque and that morning was foggy. But right as the sun rose, all the mist started to burn off and there was just like terraced rolling hills going off into the distance with fields on them and, beautiful, beautiful descents that had been newly paved, some really steep uphills, local legend hills, watch out for Potter's Hill where a lot of people wound up walking. And then usually on the last day, there's a really fun run-in because you're ending at the Mississippi River. So there's usually a really fun downhill at the very end to kind of take you into the town and give you a big finish. And you dip your front tire and a lot of people, ask someone to take their picture. They hold their bike up over their head and celebrate their victory.
So fun. So fun.
To anyone who loves to cycle, put it on your bucket list. There's only one time, and I might make some Iowans angry with this one, but there's really only one time to ever go to Iowa, and it is Ragbri Week. So last full week in July, put it on your calendar.
I love that. Okay, so one piece of advice for somebody who wants to do it.
Find a friend, sign up first, worry about the logistics later.
That's great. That's simple. It's like just just do the thing. If you want to do it, just go figure it out. I love that. That's adventure.
If you're a Reddit person, find the RagBri subreddit. There's always tons of people asking and answering questions there. Really helpful. If you have a local, if you have a local club of casual riders who just like to go out for a chill weekend spin, a lot of them probably know what's going on and could maybe, you could maybe join in with their group or anything like that. But yeah, you can also do it solo. I've met solo RagBri participants before as well. And again, you won't be alone.
Right. Rarely. Yeah. Well, that's like solo travel. I mean, we call it solo travel, but you're never really alone. I mean, maybe not never, but you do meet so many more people when you're alone because you're so approachable, and people will talk to you and people are friendly. People are friendly everywhere.
Yep. So. People will, hang out all afternoon under awnings and in, the center of every town, like I said, but the overnight towns, there's usually an expo where there'll be vendors of bike stuff, like bike brands, clothing companies like Primal Wear or Velo Rosa are there, and they go every day. There's mechanics everywhere. If your bike has any trouble at all, they'll finish it and they'll figure it out in 20 minutes. And usually they usually only ask for tips at will, and people hanging out in town squares and getting to know each other.
Well, Eric, if anybody wants to follow you, would you share your Instagram handle just in case people want to see where you're getting in your rides?
Yeah, my Instagram handle is just at Whalen, at my last name, W-H-A-Y-L-E-N.
Perfect. Okay. Well, thank you so much. This has been really fun. And I just really appreciate that you've shared this amazing thing that's happening right in our backyard that I think a lot of people don't even know is there and is accessible to all of us. So thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Jackie. It was really nice to chat with you. I'll ride with you again sometime soon, right?
Yes, maybe RagBri. I want to do it now.